Welcome, friends, to another Hour of Truth. It's a jam-packed show today. Not that we have anything to say, it's just a lot of people here.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Phil's got a mouthful of food.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
Oh, me. All right, well, I have Phil with me here in the room. In the studio, I have the Skype contingent, which is James Uchler in lovely suburban Elberton, Georgia, and Scott.
Which just seems to be all over the place right now.
All right. Well. The chat room says we're connected. I'm just tickled that we are connected. So we have, Scott Bishop is in the Skype contingent.
Who did that? Scott Bishop.
Absolutely. You got egg all scrubbed down your face there, I'm just saying.
Scott.
Oh, me. So, gentlemen, tell me what you think. What sort of...
You really want to know that?
Oh, man. You noticed that I'm waiting. Oh, man. No class. No class at all. What did y'all think about the services? Scott?
I enjoyed the services James. This morning myself. And one common theme that I was seeing was sort of exercising that faith muscle that we have and strengthening it and being ready to face that tribulation that helps to make us stronger. And I think it might have been Phil that was mentioning, like, an athlete or somebody training for something. You know, you push hard to get to a particular point. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, in my youth, I'd be, you know, working out or something or doing bench presses or whatever, you know. You start out with 50 pounds or 100 pounds. And, you know, after a few weeks, all of a sudden, that's pretty easy. So what do you got to do? You got to add more weight to the bar. You know what I mean? You make it a little bit harder. And then you keep pushing and pushing, and, you know, eventually, you know, you increase. And one of the big things that we need to do is increase our faith and have that strength to stand. So.
Amen. And, you know, what, remember, there's a scripture actually taught, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godly exercise profiteth a lot. And I'm screwing up.
Much. Yeah.
Much. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. And you know what reminded me, Scott, because I'm glad you hit it up. And I remember talking right before the meeting here that there's a sermon that you preached not too long ago in the same way. And you looked up habit. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And you looked up habit and you're talking about hockey and how all you ever want to do is play hockey. And, you know, what you did was you practiced hockey all the time. I mean, it was all about hockey. And, you know, one of the things is we follow after so many things in the flesh, and it's easiest for us to fall into that snare and follow after the things of the flesh. I mean, my thing was drugs and staying high. You know, and if I took that same thing, and others could be a different face, you know, whatever. It's the same old nasty carcass flesh. But, I mean, one could be self-righteousness. One could be, being about this thing of that's of no profit at all. I mean, one could be, you know, material stuff, you know, to get as much stuff as they can. But whatever the case may be, if we took that same kind of dedication that we had to our, you know, for me was to get high all the time. If I took that same dedication and gave it to the Lord and to be about His business, man.
Yeah, that would be something else. Go some places.
Yeah, amen.
If we did that, we would become very profitable to the Lord.
Well, that's true.
Well, amen. I mean, I know, we can become very resourceful and find ways to get things done that we want or we desire. And if we place that want and desire on the things of God and on Jesus, and we're likewise as resourceful, then, you know, we can get there.
And something that's profitable, too.
Well,
Paul, you said many times, you know, that we need that reset in the morning. And, you know, if we really, in the morning, hold on to that reset and accept that this is the day that the Lord has made and that we're going to seek to serve Him in it, you know, we can do that. You know, if we keep our eyes on the Lord and we're able to, He's able to move through us in a mighty way.
Yeah, well, you know, the reset is that, you know, I have to be about His business, and my attitude has got to be about doing things that glorify and honor Him and are taking care of Him with the same diligence that I used to take, used to take care of myself. I was about to say, you know, like I've stopped doing that. I'm such a miserable failure. And it was just shameful. It's shameful. But sometimes, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you hear yourself and you're shaming yourself, you're not, and there's nobody around to be ashamed with.
I can come over.
No, I don't. There's just nobody, no person in the room to be
the cause of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to bring the shame on me for the way I'm acting or the way I'm thinking.
Oh, I just thought you were talking about being shameful because
the whole thing is really not good. That's as shameful as it can get, right?
Yes.
Let's confess that my utter and complete unworthiness to even call on Him. Let's thank Him for His Son and His grace. But, I've also found is that the harder it is to get adjusted, the harder it is to get my butt out of bed and over there on Sunday morning, the bigger the delivery. I mean, the better the service. And, you know, the enemy is trying to tweak us to get us not doing the Lord's thing. And the Lord's business on Sunday morning is to bring the Word.
Amen.
Bring the Word.
What you said something there, Paul, and this is, I mean, to me, what strikes up as you were saying, you know, the harder it is to get over there on Sunday morning, the harder it is, the better the service. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I mean, I was struggling myself this morning. In fact, you know, half the week I told you guys I struggled myself. You know, I asked the Lord to prepare me something for the people, and, you know, servitude came to mind. We talked about Tuesday night and all these things. And then I just was like, oh, my goodness, what a failure I am. But one of the things is what you're saying, the harder it is, the bigger the deliverance is, because one thing, the grips we really need to come to, I mean, and is that you can do nothing but by me. You can do nothing but by me. And it's one of those things is when you wake up and you have, I mean, when I have that, oh my gosh, I mean, I don't wake up, you know, praise God and all these things. I mean, I wake up and I have to actually put and exercise faith to put that old man down and come before the Lord in that humility. Lord, I have nothing to offer. Nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord, well, I want to be pleasing unto you. I don't care about it. I just want to be pleasing to you. And I know I can't do that with my own power and my own strength. Then you come to that place where it's all Him that moves.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to add was, you know, once you are humbled to the point where you just know that there's nothing you can do, then you're able to actually hear that still, quiet voice of the Lord and pass that along to the folks. You know, so then what you're preaching is not of you. It's of God.
Amen. You know, I made some notes because there's some highlights on that. And that's to follow. I mean, that's making that choice in faith of putting that thing out, and you come to that humility. And then you know that you have that faith that the Lord is going to be the one that gives you what you need, that direction, that spirit, that mind that you need. Praise the Lord when He delivers us things. You know, this morning was one of a great struggle for me to get up, even go up. At the same time, it was a great deliverance for me as well. And those freeing things, I actually was going to go somewhere. I didn't go there, but praise the Lord. I think you said it right, Scotty. Now I'm just running my mouth. I apologize.
Gail put in the chat room, there's not going to be a Jesus factor today. Scott's doing plumbing work. And she said she needs prayers so they'll have the knowledge and ability to do it. And I'm sitting here thinking about Phil Roberts, not Jason's thing. It's, when you don't know what you're doing, it's best to do it quickly. So, Scott, I hope you can get it done quickly. Oh, amen. All right, I apologize.
I think he wants to be operational when he's done.
Really?
Yeah, this is actually his own house. I mean, this isn't like your house or something where he can just kind of do it quickly, walk away, and then go back to Connecticut. This is actually, he has to stay there, Paul.
That's different. Then I hope he gets his prayers answered. The Lord delivers to him the knowledge and the ability to get the plumbing working. It's so often where we get humbled is when we're faced with doing something that we have no idea what we're doing, and not just humbling, but it's terrifying. It's where you have to trust the Lord and utilize the resources that He's given you, and in so doing, making the accomplishment of the thing about glorifying Him and not so much about getting it done.
Yeah, and in those situations, Paul, if we do humble ourselves, that's where the Lord can really move. And, you know, through faith, he delivers to us. And it's an amazing thing, you know, and it is all to His glory because we came in blind, not knowing what to do.
And that's what Steve was getting at.
Yeah. Left town, Ricky and Sue left town, and left me with this operation here, and I had no idea what I was going to be doing. I had no idea what any of this was going to look like. And it really, you know, it didn't matter that I had been doing this with Ricky, well, I don't know, for a while. Been a while. I don't remember exactly how long it's been, but it was, you know, I could always wander away and leave it to Ricky to fix things. And when they left me,
and that was that do it quickly part. Yeah. Now you had to actually fix your own sink there, buddy.
Oh man, we really didn't need water there. It's not that far to stick it outside. I could bail some water out of the tank here.
But I hope you get what I'm saying there on that front.
Yeah. So, you got a lot of stuff there. Did you just blow it all out?
No, I mean, I didn't. I mean, the other, what was it that, one of the things was that Steve said, and we talked about this a little bit beforehand, was he says, you know, he says, and you're not, you know, it's not to lift yourself up because you're not operating, you're operating in the same spirit as the Lord did. And the same spirit of the Lord was, he glorified the Father.
The same spirit is, I do only what he gives me to do, what he gives me to say.
Amen. One of the things is what reminds me of that, and I remember you're talking this morning, and you said in places there, you remember to love God, love one another. You know, it's hard. There's so much in Colossians. There's so much. I don't know if I said this on air or not already. Did I?
You said it when we were talking before.
Before? Okay. But you said there's so much here in Colossians. There's so much here in Philippians of the Lord's commandment and what to do. I mean, there's so much there. And, you know, what came to my mind when you're saying that this morning was, and then, you know, how am I to remember all these things? How am I to, but you're not going to be able to remember those things with your flesh, with your carnal mind. Not at all. That's why you need His mind, His spirit. That's where you tap into the life source. Then He's going to give you that direction which fulfills those things. Because it's His spirit that's moving, not your own. And it reminds me, you know, it's a scary... Go ahead.
No, go. You go ahead and finish, Phil.
And you know, it's a scary thing. It's in Matthew, I think it's 7, where it says, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in my name? Have we not cast out devils? Have not we done these many wonderful works? And I'll profess unto them, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. You know what's so scary about that is that they had casted out devils. They had done works in His name. That might be simply just for that believer's sake. But your spirit you are operating under was one of pride. I mean, you can do what your bosses tell you can do. You can be obedient to what your authorities are obedient to and still be yet in pride in doing those things because you're not in the same spirit of Christ. You could be trying to do it all with the flesh. It's like two people doing two different things. One could be doing a soup kitchen because they love the Lord and that's what the Lord told them to do. The other could be doing it to glorify themselves. That's a scary scary switch. Well, you know, it reminds me of Galatians where he says, whenever you've begun in the Spirit, now are you made perfect by the flesh?
It wasn't a rhetorical question. The answer is no.
That's right. Anybody got anything? James, you were about to say something, were you?
Yeah, well, when you were talking about love one another, you know, Paul had talked about we can't love one another if we don't love ourselves, right? And if we're trying to, if we're walking after the flesh, we aren't loving ourselves correctly. And, you know, we need to walk after the Spirit. And then the only important thing is our soul and serving Jesus, and that's how we can love one another, is want that same thing for the other person. you know, we put off our flesh what, you know, they might do this, they might do that. We don't like this about them. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is reconciliation with God through Jesus.
Amen. And what's best for their soul.
Right.
I mean, because being rebuked, let me tell you something, being rebuked and chastened, that's not a fun thing. It doesn't look pretty. There's nothing about that from the inside that looks pretty at all. It can even seem mean. It can even seem harsh from the outside. But it is the thing. But it is the thing that you need for your soul, because it's not. Jesus didn't come to save your flesh. He came to save your soul. And if you need that chastening, that is good for your soul.
It's love.
Then it's love, and it's good. I mean, let's take a look at the prophets. I mean, the prophets didn't go usually, and when God's judgment is coming down, they were like, look, this is what's going to happen, and you've been an adulterers and adulteresses. What is going on? And if you don't change your way, the Lord is going to come down, and His judgment's going to come upon you. Turn. Now, it wasn't pretty, but it was needful. It was needful. So that they would have an opportunity. That was love. So that they would have an opportunity to turn. That's an agape love. Are you going to love somebody enough to tell them the truth? Are you going to be too concerned about what they might think of you, or or them being mad at you? The love thing would be to tell them the truth if they're going the wrong direction. That's love. Go ahead, Sky. You're about to say something.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I know, you know, for myself, a lot of times, you know, some of the things I'm doing, I think are just fantastic. And there's no problem at all with them, you know. But actually hearing a word from somebody saying, what are you doing, stupid? You know, that's dumb. Well, that gives me an opportunity to actually go back and reflect upon it and say, ah, yeah, that was dumb. And give me an opportunity to repent and yet get it right.
Amen.
And, I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And if that person said, oh, man, Scott, that's just great. That wouldn't be and they know it's not great. That wouldn't be love at all.
Well, right, but that's what you see out in the churches these days. You know, look at how great we are. Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, yeah, you're, you know, it's all a bunch of just nonsense, you know?
Amen. You know, one of the things is, you know, we start off with that exercise and, you know, that seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, and we were already talking about, you know, loving God, loving one another. You know, loving God to first, or love your neighbor as yourself is what you're speaking of, and to love yourself in the sense of not loving your flesh, giving heed to your flesh, but loving your soul self would be spending time in His Word. That would be taking an honest look at yourself and what the Word says, taking heed to what the Word says and the direction of the Lord's given you, you know.
Well, it is knowing where to, when you wake up in the morning and need that reset, it's knowing where to go to get it and then doing it.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of times we find ourselves out there comparing ourselves to one another. Say, well, that guy doesn't got it right. I got it right. You know, things like
that. Well, that's
this.
A big red flag already right there, Scott. But.
Oh, sure. Well, that's what we do, or at least I do. I find myself slipping into that place. And what we need to do when that happens is go back to the Word, compare ourselves to the Word. And Amen. Where we find ourselves short, fix it.
Amen, Scott. Good point.
And I'm going to Archer Mellow, because about the time you're starting to feel good about yourself, then you'll get somebody like John who'll say, he that saved thee abideth in him also, himself also, so to walk as he walked. Is that happening? that's a question of standard.
That's part of the question, as Scott was referring to. Part of the question, comparing each other among yourselves is not wise, you know. But if you compare yourself to Jesus, and compare yourself to the Word, which says you ought to walk as He has walked. I tell you, it's like, whoa.
The problem is that, you know, just because I'm in a better place than you are, you're not the standard. Jesus is.
Amen.
And that's the trouble with comparing yourself amongst yourself, is you're never going to attain the standard because you're not pursuing the standard.
Well, sure, and that reminds me of the blind leading the blind.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, unless you fancy yourself to be as in the same place Paul was, who said, you know, I would desire you to be as I am. I fancy this guy next to me as being able to say that about himself with any straight face.
Paul, there's a lot of work to be done with me, for sure. Absolutely.
And, you know, Paul tells, was it Timothy, I think, just, you know, mark the men who have this right. Mark them and impart this knowledge and this wisdom and this teaching and this gospel that I've given you to trusted men. And let them be able to mark us, mark the ones that they have received this from, who walk it out and do the same things they do.
And that's where the rubber meets the road, Paul. You know, I mean, you can talk the talk, but are you going to walk the walk?
Yeah. Don't show me your ability to speak. Show me that you believe what you're saying.
Amen.
Go
ahead, James.
Sorry, Phil. It reminds me of the scripture, go out and preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. Because it's really a walk, not of words. Most of it's what you do. It's your walk, your daily walk. Are you serving the Lord in what you do, or are you serving yourself? And that right there is more proof to people, or it shows people just the way you live. You're bringing that testimony and you're sharing the gospel, and just in how you, your actions.
And how do you do that? I mean, we have opportunity every day to do that.
Well, I mean, we could go back to where, you know, at work, serve your earthly masters as unto the Lord.
Well, amen. That is one of the directions, but how? You know, I mean, it's kind of like it's, and it all goes back. It all goes back to where you can do nothing but by me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It all goes back to listening to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Putting that carnal mind down and taking on His mind, His Spirit, which He has freely given to us if we will receive it. It's us by receiving that by faith and walking in that uniform which He gives us, in that mind which He gives us, in that Spirit which He gives us, in that love which He has given us. But it's coming before you can receive that. You have to cast off this old carnal mind and recognize that you can do nothing but by Him.
Well, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Devils also believe and tremble. He goes on to say, that it's, you know, as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You show me. I'm still trying to find the exact scripture, the exact verse. Faith, the next verse. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by the works? And this is what we're talking about here. This is the walking as he walked. Is what he's talking about here. He's not talking about works of law. You know, or else we have to throw out Galatians. And I don't think we want to do that. And, you know, Romans. Seest thou? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? He didn't do that, as a matter of fact, because the law had not come yet. The law wasn't established until Moses. He was doing this because he's obeying God. And until God saw that he could obey him, he didn't know whether he was going to choose to obey him or choose to do his own thing. And he demonstrated his belief. Abraham believed and was reckoned to him as righteousness. It wasn't reckoned to him by his works. It was because he believed.
He wasn't righteous because he offered Isaac, the actual offering up of Isaac. He was righteous because he believed God and offering up Isaac. In the sense that he would raise him from the dead because the promise was through him. He believed him. If that makes any sense. I don't know.
Yeah, he was obedient.
Yeah, he was obedient within faith that the Lord was going to raise him from the dead. Because the promise that God would perform the promise that he promised to him, that it was through Isaac shall thy seed be called. And we have that in Hebrews.
Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Walking as Jesus walked. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. And only you know whether you can walk that one out or not. But that's put up or shut up time. And that's what he's talking about here in James. We're not talking about works of the law. We're not talking works righteousness. We're talking about doing the same things in the same way by the same Spirit that Jesus did them by.
Amen.
To please and glorify the Father.
Amen.
And yeah, a lot of times, the reason why, you know, we can't do that is because we compare ourselves, you know, subconsciously maybe, you know, sort of to the law or, you know, to these other things, and we say,
well, one another.
Yeah, or one another, and say, well, we can't do that. We're not worthy. We're not this. We're not that. But the fact of the matter is all you need to do is believe. You know, read that word, know that word, believe that it's true, and do it.
Amen. Just as Abraham did.
Amen.
I don't believe the lie. You're not worthy. Of course, you're not worthy.
Well, that's the truth.
But it's a lie. It's a lie, and it's.
That it's based on your worthiness. It's a lie that it's based on your worthiness, because it's not. It's not. And that's where it becomes so evident to us.
The truth is, Jesus is. And if your faith isn't trust is in Him, then your lie of worthiness is immaterial.
Exactly. And that's what it's not based on your worthiness. And that's why you see what that's one of the things you're saying, Paul. I mean, the biggest struggle you had this morning, or the hard it was this morning to get up and get on board and agree with the Lord, and then you go, the bigger the deliverance was, because it's not based on your worthiness. It's based on how good the Lord is and what His Word says.
Right.
And He backs up His Word. He backs up His Word. And that's why when you see Him show up, you see it on the backside of, I mean, you see where, you know, I remember Sue was telling me about how she had this, had this huge struggle with her daughter before going to the park with her daughter. It was a huge struggle. She was very upset, frustrated, ready to pull her hair out and just come into that place of just, Lord, have mercy upon me. She steps out the car, starts, and really wasn't even in the mood. It was like, woe is me kind of feeling. And then all of a sudden, the lady, she ministers to the lady and says she has a headache. She prays for her. Boom, she's delivered from the headache. Because it's not based on your worthiness. And I say, you know, what, at the most, the biggest time the Lord has showed up was one after my biggest screw-ups or failures that at least I perceive as in the Lord. And then the Lord yet turns around and delivers greatly.
But a lot of times that's because you're finally at the place where you know that there's nothing that you can do.
Amen.
And your faith, all of a sudden, all goes into that basket. And it's all, you know, based on Jesus. And
Amen.
Then He's able to move.
Amen.
That's right.
We need to be there every
all
day.
The time.
All day.
Yeah.
In the morning.
You mean not just on Sunday?
No. I mean every day in the morning we need
like
to get to that
all.
Place.
Come on.
No. But that's where the Lord would have us at.
That's right.
And He's not holding back from you. It's just us up to us deciding if we want to grab onto it and receive it at that time.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. Praise God, it's not about our word. Not based on our do we deserve it or not, because I just don't know anybody that deserves the grace and mercy of the Lord. But I do know that it's true. Jesus said, I didn't come to heal the people who are well. I came to heal those that are sick. The doctor, you don't get a physician unless you're sick. I came to heal the sick. I've really massacred that.
Yeah, I remember. I can probably look it up. But the point of all that is that what comes down in that love, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, remember, blessed be the peacemakers. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, how the churches were, you know, Scott, you're talking about how the churches is, even though, you know, that love, let me put it, that love is telling people that they need them, that they fall short, so that they can see that they need Jesus. Because of the truth of the matter is, we all fall short of the glory. It's just that we don't necessarily, not everybody recognizes they see Jesus. I know I didn't think I need Jesus for a long time until I hit my face down in the mud. And then I realize it. But blessed are the peacemakers. Are we going to love somebody enough to tell them the truth that would blessed be the peacemakers, which gives them opportunity to be reconciled unto the Lord?
Well, it's interesting you touched on the peacemaker verse there, because that's one of the ones that's out there, you know, in sort of the church today, where, you know, it's misinterpreted, and they think that that's, oh, well, you know, we're Christians, we're peacemakers, we're supposed to be friendly and kind to one another and not offend each other and all this.
Angry.
And that's not what it is. You know, peace, that peace that it's talking about is the peace God. Between you and God.
Amen.
Sometimes getting to that is going to look really
ugly. Yeah.
Not going to look real peaceful.
Well, I mean, you know, Sue testifies of another thing. I'm using Sue a lot as an example. Praise God. But remember, Sue is testifying one of those things where it was just this past ministry convention that Davey loved Sue so more than what she thought of him. When he took the mic, she's sitting there singing, praising God. He grabs her. Sue, let me see that microphone. Think something's wrong with it. Takes out the batteries and hands it back to Sue.
Right.
And I think from the outside, that looks like just downright mean. Just downright just, oh my goodness, just picking on Sue. All these things. But no, it was him loving Sue with that agape love so that she can have peace with God. Because she was in pride when she was singing. And that showed her self-righteousness and her pride that it humbled her to become reconciled with the Lord. That's a peacemaker. David was operating and being a peacemaker there. That wasn't, oh, look, that Sue, your hair's so nice, you sing so well. No. That's the one that would have sent her to hell. But Davey loved her enough to tell her the truth.
And that wasn't easy for Davey, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't
want
to put words in his mouth, but maybe it was easy.
You know, I don't know. But that's where, you know, you were telling, you know, I did not come to heal the, you know, I was going to find that, but I'm a jerk. Where was it? I was just reading it too. Okay, they that be whole need not a physician, but they are that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The truth of the matter is that we're all sick. That we're all sinners. That's why he tells them to go.
Because you say you see your sin remaining.
Yeah. And you know, as we go out, I mean, you see the people and how we have justified ourselves. They're thinking that we're okay or that we're fine, that we're going to be just fine, that we don't need anybody's help. We don't need Jesus. Jesus is just a crutch. I mean, being that peacemaker is letting people know in areas in where they are not okay, that they do need Jesus, and that's a merciful thing to do. Some know that they are sick and need help of a Savior. That's far easier.
Well, far too many that are actually in the church find, you know, they think that they're righteous.
Right.
You know? And that leads them farther from God than anything, really. I mean, I'm Baptist, I'm righteous, I'm this, I'm righteous. You know, I'm a member of the Fisherman Ministry. Oh, well, I'm all set. Well, no, that's not the case.
It's not.
In fact, if you're thinking that, you got to, you know, turn your head around and get that thing on straight, because none of that's going to save you. The only thing that's going to save you is Jesus.
Amen.
And coming to the realization that, you know, you are a sinner and you got to fix yourself.
Amen. And that's why it's, unless it's the Lord God, our righteousness, unless it's His righteousness, it's good for nothing. Good for nothing.
Amen. The Jesus healed the blind guy in chapter 9 of John, and they kind of wind this thing up after the Grand Inquisition. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." They're blinded to their sin and their sinfulness, their pride and their iniquity, and they could not see the simple truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. That's what he said.
Amen. And you know, it's interesting, in the beginning of that parable, of that blind man, remember when he goes, you know, the blind man goes, "Well, if you, and since when did a sinner be able to do these miracles that he's done? I mean, how do you?" And the Pharisees get mad at them. And here's
you're gonna teach us?
Just also, yeah, and the whole thing was, he was actually doing that. He was speaking the truth. He got blind and immediately became a minister and stood in the faces as a testimony of what the Lord can do and the truth of His Word right there before him. He had it more on the ball than they did by far at that time. And man, that offend them even more so. And it actually proved the point that how far off they were.
Yeah.
And Jesus wraps it up. You know, Jesus comes back and starts telling them their hypocrisy, but
yeah, because you say you see, you're sinning.
But I thought that was I remember reading that, and that just was, to me, was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy blind and just absolutely in just bad shape, worse than we probably ever had it, any of us, is able to see and gets to know the Lord one day. And becomes a minister for his purpose, glorifying him.
But like
that.
Going to seminary.
Yep. No seminary, no teaching. Remember, he couldn't read the Bible.
That's
he was
right.
Blind.
Right.
Praise the Lord. That's how awesome the Lord is.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter what you are naturally.
It works out well for some of us.
Amen.
Skype connection is quiet.
I just expect to hear something from him. I'm not hearing
anything. Hello, is anybody there?
Yes, we're here.
I dropped off.
So, Scott, when are you swinging by?
I'm not sure that I am. I think you should swing to me.
See how you are?
Yeah.
I love you, bro. If I could, I would. But now is not the time for me to go.
And that's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think we got quiet down here because that was, that was some good scriptures you pulled out there. And I found myself in quiet contemplation. And
I hate
it's not a bad place to be sometimes, but it's not a good place when you're on the radio.
No. That's where it happens most often. I mean, that's the thing that really bugs me.
Oh, you know, it is funny because we were spatting and shooting and, you know, I mean, we were talking all kinds of stuff before the show. The show comes up, it's like, I just got hit with a dump stick.
Linda seconds the notion that Scott should swing by here. Sweet. Well, I don't know. We may have exhausted our material. The only thing we haven't exhausted is how good the Lord is.
Amen.
And the fact that how good He is that while we were yet sinners, He died for us.
Amen.
While we were His enemy, He died for us. And He, you know, set up His line of authority, and He set up ministers, and He's caretakers for those who would come to Him. And there's no noise here that resembles that. Oh, you did that into the mic? A
few times.
See how you are. This boy just won't behave himself. I'm going to have to get you back out to the woodshed, boy. This is probably a place to wind it up for the week. Because it's really starting to break down in here.
Well, I thought we were wrapping up.
We're wrapping.
Okay.
We're wrapping.
Cool. Do you want me to say a rap song?
No. Okay. We don't want
Please
you to
don't.
Sing. Yeah, of course it's gone now. He has this stupid little thing, key ring thing, sound maker thing. It's doesn't supposed to sound like a knife sharpening. It's supposed to sound like a pig. But it isn't a good enough sound effect to use on radio because it's just not that good and it's annoying. So, to the hearer, I can't hear it, so it doesn't bother me at all. But to those of you who can hear it, it's probably annoying.
I thought it was a good idea. There I go again with that good idea. I thought it was a great idea, Scott. Because we're at the pig pen, you know, pig little thing. Guess not.
We're not doing the pig pen thing today.
Come to find out, we're not a good idea.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Time Stop to put that a ball on this. Stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Say goodbye, y'all.
Goodbye, y'all.
Goodbye, everybody. It was nice joining you guys today.
All righty. We'll see you next time on the Hour of Truth. So until then, may God bless.